Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good. We hope you join us frequently in our pleasant backyard oasis for wide-ranging conversations with a diversity of people who are growing older and want to talk about it.
Hi, this is Denise Schwartz, your host. So let me ask you, at what age would you feel comfortable being called elderly? 60? 70? 80? 90? Well, recently I read an article in the newspaper. Yes, I read the local newspaper in both its printed and digital versions. Well, I read an article about an accident, and the writer said something such as, "The elderly resident rescued his cats before running from the house." Later, Smith, 65, said his daily two-mile walks contributed to his ability to exit the burning building quickly without injury. Now, let me tell you, I was happy to know that the resident and his cat suffered no injuries. But I was a little irritated to read that the reporter called the resident elderly and then said the resident was 65. Why? Why do we do that? Elderly so often implies infirm, fragile, over the hill. That's how we describe it. But that person clearly wasn't. He was able to run out of the house with his cats. So let's look at what that word elderly really is. Okay, the definition is older, aging, and that's true. But, you know, Merriam-Webster tells us that its synonyms are, well, some of the synonyms are ancient, geriatric, long-lived, over the hill, senescent, and how about this, unyoung. Also said that there are words related to elderly and that they are gray, been around, declining, and one of my favorites, hoary, H-O-A-R-Y. Also, long in the tooth, no spring chicken, over the hill, tired, as if people of other ages aren't tired, and one that I really like, venerable. So again, at what age would you feel comfortable being called elderly? Words are really important. How we look at people who are older is really important. Today we're going to talk about reframing aging. And among other things, we're going to talk about using words differently to help us think differently about aging with our guest, Meg Ryan. Meg is a registered nurse and a public health nurse for the Cooperative Public Health Service at the Franklin Regional Council of Governments. The Public Health Service serves 15 small rural towns in Franklin County, most of which have a large population of older people. Meg's been a nurse since 2011, and her entire career has been working with older people. She's going to tell us more about age bias and reframing aging. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Denise. Thanks for having me on the show today. I'm really happy to be here to talk about this issue.
I know you love to talk about it, and it's great. You know so much about it. Before we really get into reframing, and we're going to define that so that listeners know exactly what it is, let's talk a little bit about how pervasive ageism is in our culture.
Well, it's very pervasive. Look at the examples of words that you gave just now about elderly. Most of those words have a very negative association connected with them. Interesting graph that I saw recently that looked at words such as seniors and the elderly and older people and older adult. Mm-hmm. And seniors and the elderly, senior citizens and the elderly have less ability connected with the stereotype. But older people and older adults have a more positive stereotype. So the words that we use really do matter. Ageism is a really widely recognized problem. And while it goes both towards younger and towards older people, we're going to talk more about the ageism that affects older people today.
Okay, sure.
The World Health Organization about 2.5 years ago released a report on ageism, and it showed that it's a pervasive problem worldwide. It permeates our systems like the media, like healthcare, and the legal system. Mm. You know, different cultures have different perceptions and value for their older adults, but our expectations matter. If old people just decline, then why or how could we live a productive, happy life or recover from illness? You know, we can both live up to expectations and down to our expectations. So ageism is really associated with a shorter lifespan, poorer physical and mental health, and slower recovery from disability, and it's associated with cognitive decline.
And when you say ageism is associated with those things, you mean the concept that some people have of people who are aging.
Yes. Ageism as an ism can be defined as discrimination against older adults mm-hmm. due to negative and inaccurate stereotypes.
Inaccurate. Yeah. Well, we have to get rid of those. How can we do that? This is a good segue into our topic today, Meg, of reframing aging. Something that I really didn't know anything about, but I've learned a lot this year about reframing, changing how I think and speak about aging.
Yeah, we want to flip the script.
I love that.
So one thing we need to do is just become aware of our own bias. And try to change those. Somebody I was listening to pointed out that if you associate aging with only loss or limitation or decline, you're not getting the full picture of what it means to age. Mm. So there are a lot of benefits that come with aging, and we are so used to focusing on the negatives, on the loss, that one of the main things we need to do to reframe aging is to identify the positives and focus on those at least as much as the negatives, because they're both present.
Yes.
We get wiser. We're more resilient.
Wiser.
We do things better, certain things better. Some aspects of our lives do slow down a little bit, but generally we can mitigate those with what we've learned through experience.
But haven't we found out, I mean, Meg, you and I are both in the older adult population. Haven't we found out, you said, you know, some things slow down a bit. Haven't we found out that slowing down is actually really nice? And I don't mean slowing down so much that I can't walk or I can't move around, but I mean taking more time to think about how I'm going to plan my day, or thinking a little more slowly about something I've learned and how I might respond to somebody about what they've said to me about that topic. Slowing down is not a bad thing.
It's not. And it can be a choice at any age, in fact.
Yes.
I was talking more about reaction time rather than the choice of taking some slower time to really
bathe
in something great. You know, one of the things that older people do better is inductive reasoning. We're less likely to rush to judgment and more likely to reach the right conclusion. We actually have better verbal abilities, better vocabulary, better understanding of the meaning and depth of words.
Well, wait a minute. Then why do we look at older people and kind of think they don't have that much to say or that they don't give us quick answers?
Because we're so used to looking at the negative and not the positive.
Oh, why?
It's our culture.
It sells products.
It does often sell products. We can't embrace our wrinkles if we're surrounded by ads that are trying to get us to buy products that erase our wrinkles.
That's right.
I had an older woman say to me once, I am proud of every single one of these wrinkles. It means I had a life well and fully lived.
You know, that is probably so very true. And yet, even for me, I can't quite feel that yet. But that might be because in my mind, I've been told so long that I need to get rid of these.
we so prize the ideal of youth that we have forgotten how to prize the ideal of experience.
So how can we change that? What can we do? How can we make it top of mind? Or how can we start to feel really good about how we look when we look in the mirror?
So one thing you can do is shift your attention. Look not just for the negatives, but notice when there are negative images or thoughts associated with aging, and question those. Are they really true? Replace them with positive. If you can't replace them, if it really is a negative, there is loss with some loss with age, but it's not the only thing. So look for role models. Who's doing it well? Who do you admire as you age? Who's that 90-year-old that you want to grow up to be?
Oh, I want to tell you about one of them.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so last year I was taking my daily walk and I walked by my neighbor's house. And at the time, I'm not going to say her name, but at the time she was 89 years old. And I'm walking by and I just happened to look at her house and I went, "What are you doing?" And I looked up and there she was on her roof. I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm cleaning my gutters." And it was like, "You're 89 years old. You shouldn't be doing that." Well, I mean, I shouldn't have said that. She should be able to do whatever she wants to do. But I am so proud of her for being able to do that. She said, "Oh, it's nothing. I just went up to my second floor. I climbed out my second floor window. I took it easy on the roof. And it's not hard to clean the gutters." Now that is a role model.
Absolutely, as long as she really is having good judgment about her abilities.
Oh, yes, she does.
I also have a cousin who's 80 and whose adult children started to object to how much he uses a chainsaw.
Oh.
But he lives in the woods. He needs to use a chainsaw. Windfall comes down, trees need to come down.
Yes.
I think it matters more to pay attention to your reaction time and your how spry you are, how strong you are. You know, if you're still able to run that 4-mile loop every day and heft the things you usually can and your reaction time is just as good, just because you turned 80 doesn't mean you should put your chainsaw down.
Now, would our physicians or the medical institutions agree with this? Or would they be saying, "Oh, you better take it easy"? How does that whole medical thing fall into place here?
That's going to vary from provider
person to person.
Provider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure. You know, another thing that is important to do when to try to reframe aging from a negative to a positive is to be careful of the language that we use. You know, there's a lot of talk about our aging population, and we are. By 2030, 34% of Franklin County is going to be 65 or older, and that's a very different thing. In 2010, it was only 18% of Franklin County that was 65 or older. And in some of our towns, it's already 40, 50 or more percent 65 and older. So there's a lot of talk about the silver tsunami.
Yeah, I hate that.
And the demographic cliff. Like it's a disaster that we're getting older. I want to point out that this is a good thing. We're living longer and healthier lives.
That's a really good way to look at it.
That is the bottom line. So it the language there matters. Also, if you talk about senior citizens and the elderly, that's those other people. That's not you and me. That's not us.
So, that's right. That's how we look at that.
Being careful to use language that's inclusive and not doesn't do that thing where it others people, I think is very important. Now, I want to take a moment and recognize that, it's important to be careful with language. You don't want to turn into the language police where the person who says the wrong thing is a bad person.
Right.
You know, just take a moment, point out that you personally prefer to say we older people rather than those elderly, and why.
Let me just add, I think in our previous conversations we've talked about this, and I think I've read that AARP has strongly suggested that we use the term older adults.
Yes.
Instead of senior citizens or the elderly.
Yes.
And I have to say, I guess I am a little bit of a language police person because I really love to work with words. And I have mentioned it that way to people when they say elderly. And I will simply say, I just wanted to mention that AARP suggests that we use the term older adults instead of elderly. And may I just insert this one little example? we were working with an attorney on a totally different thing, and we're reading the paperwork that she put together. And in one place, it said something about, I'm not sure if it was elderly, I think it said seniors. And I said to her, just what I said to you, AARP recommends that we use older adults. And she said, oh, I'm going to have this changed in my documents right away. And I thought, yay, if one person can do that, maybe she can influence others. And maybe that's how we can start making some changes in reframing.
Denise, that is a stellar example of exactly what you can do. You're already doing it.
Oh, yay. Good. Good to know.
I want to point out a resource that I have found very helpful to myself. It's a website called Reframing Aging. It's supported by the Frameworks Institute. They really look carefully at how language is used. That's where I got the example of the demographic cliff and the silver tsunami.
Oh, yes.
Being language that others us, others people. It's led by the Gerontological Society of America, which is a collaboration of 10 leading aging organizations, and it is dedicated to ending ageism by advancing an equitable and complete story about aging in America. Complete story includes all the benefits of aging, that we're happier, that we have more resilience, not just the negatives. So I think another way to reframe aging is to really focus on looking for the positive.
Well, I must say that I know we're winding down, but there are two things I wanted to say. I recently saw on social media two photos. One of my very favorite people, Paul McCartney from the Beatles, and another one of Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. And there they were, looking really good, and they were 80. I think that says a lot. You know, I felt really good when I saw that and said, this reframes aging in a really good visual way.
Yes, it does. That's great.
And one of the other things I wanted to mention was this thing called, because it's about language, once again, elder speak. Oh, Meg, honey, what would we like to have for lunch today? You know, I hear people talk to older people with this little baby talk, and it's so wrong, and it's so patronizing in a way.
It is very patronizing, and it really makes my skin crawl. It is done a lot, especially in facilities, nursing homes, and hospitals by some of the care workers. It's not meant to be a terrible thing, but it really does put people in a position of powerlessness. It does not recognize their own feelings and abilities that they still have.
That's right.
It's treating older people as if they're little tiny kids. I actually don't even like using that kind of language with small children. I think you should talk to everybody like they're a person.
Like the way we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we put the call out there, because you're right. And I don't think people do that, especially in care facilities, with any kind of intent to hurt.
But it is hurtful.
So yeah. Maybe we can put the call out. Like, maybe let's learn to refrain from using that kind of elder speak.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, what is our final message here, Meg? We've got to go.
Flip the script. Reframe the aging. Look for the positive. There's a lot of positive out there. If we just look at the negative, we're not going to notice the positive.
Okay, so that's how we're going to end it. We're going to go forth and practice reframing aging.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Meg.
Thanks, Denise.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College, at 413-775-1819 if you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.